Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You may pay child support, or you may not pay child support, but you should because you owe it. Or you may receive child support. But navigating the system is rarely easy. Figuring out how much to pay, perhaps figuring out when you might receive it, or what the penalties are for not paying. Well, this is Child Support Awareness Month. And tonight, we're going to talk about navigating the system here in the DMV, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. My guests are Samantha Phillips Chester, Acting Director for Prince George's County Child Support Program, Janice McDaniel, Senior Assistant Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Benita Rice. She is the Deputy Attorney General and Director of the Child Support Services Division here in the District of Columbia. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ladies, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
No, thank you. Don't be shy, because as you all know, this is a very, very important issue, not just for Child Support Awareness Month, but year round, year after year. Samantha, why is the issue of child support so difficult for families?
Because you have two individuals who had a relationship. They're not in a relationship anymore for whatever reason. And the issue of financial responsibility could be a challenge, could be a sore subject, based on their personal relationships as well. So we are in the middle of this personal relationship, and we have to establish paternity. That could be an issue. We could have to establish a support order, which would set a guideline of a financial responsibility to the non-custodial parent. And that may be amicable and agreed to, and it may not be. So that's our initial challenge. And just having an agreement with the parties on their financial responsibility.
But Nida, the name suggests it, but often one of the many challenges for child support is trying to figure out how it is used and who is it for. From your perspective, who is child support for?
I think it's that is a really a fair question with regard to child support. Many non-custodial parents really feel as if their child support money is not going to support their child. The money is there. The order is put in place for the caretaker of that child, and that money is supposed to be used to help that parent take care of that child who is in his or her custody. Oftentimes, I think the real question becomes whether the non-custodial parent believes that the money that they are paying really provides for the child. But I try to sit down with parents who, especially non-custodial parents, to talk to them about just how much it costs. The average order in the District of Columbia on a case where a family has not received benefits, a non-TANF case, is about $269.
Let's talk about some definitions for those that are not familiar with it, because you did mention TANF. For those who aren't familiar, what is that?
TANF is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Many years ago, it was referred to as welfare, but it is now referred to as Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And those families and the children in those families are very vulnerable. They are generally in circumstances where that is the bulk of the money being provided to help them. So child support becomes very, very important. And the average order in a case like that is under $200 a month. So I will try to sit down with a non-custodial parent and talk to them about just how much it costs to raise a child and how far $200 will go, basically with regarding to just feeding that child one meal a day or buying some book supplies for that child to go to school or a pair of shoes, those things. And when you do that, I think when you explain it, it really brings it home and helps the parent understand where that money is going and how far or how little is being provided to help that child.
Janice, let's talk a little bit about money, because how much one pays may vary. How that's determined may vary from state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But for Virginia, is there a rule of thumb?
No. Actually, in Virginia, there's a statutory guideline
that is
applied to all cases, which means that there are certain numbers that go into a formula, and based on that formula, it's determined the appropriate amount of support. What goes into that formula basically is the gross income of both parties, whether or not they're supporting other children. If so, how many? We also determine whether or not a person is paying or receiving spousal support. We take how many children the parties have in common. We also include health care coverage, who provides it and at what cost. And then finally, work-related daycare goes into that situation. Those are the basic numbers. There is a calculated formula. It's statutory. Everybody who makes or who would have those same numbers would have the same amount of support. There can be what are called deviations based on extenuating circumstances, but the basic or the presumptive guideline starts with the formula, just plugging in the numbers into the calculations.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about child support tonight. Hopefully, we can help you navigate smoothly through the system in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia jurisdictions. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Robin, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Robin. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know, for the non-custodial parent, I felt like, and I'm speaking from a personal experience, I feel like for non-custodial parents, there aren't very many resources available to, like, keep track of what you need to do. If you need to file, like, a change with forms and things like that, those things aren't available. But for people who are receiving the child support, like, they're able to get online and they're able to access pretty much everything. But it's not the same for people who are, you know, people for non-custodial parents. And I just felt like in my personal situation, it was very frustrating to have to go to the court building every time I needed to make a change or I had an issue. I didn't have the same type of support as if I was a custodial parent.
Before you even address that, Samantha, let's work on some definitions real quick. Custodial parent, non-custodial parent, share the definitions, and then you could certainly share your thoughts about what Robin is asking.
Custodial parent is the parent who has the primary custody of the child, legal and physical custody. The non-custodial parent is defined as the individual who may not have that primary physical custody. However, they are financially responsible to contribute to that household. So non-custodial parent is kind of, it goes really back to custody, that that parent does not have that physical custody of that child.
So what should non-custodial parents like Robin in Maryland do when they are looking for support? And she also spoke about an issue that when she needs to make a change, and I would imagine this would be applicable to every jurisdiction. This is a court proceeding. This is a court. It's a legal document. And so any change up or down or sideways, you do have to go back, right?
Right. So I do agree there are some limitations for the non-custodial parent to make quick changes regarding their child support case. We do have online resources if they need to make a payment or make some changes in terms of their address, but the primary resources for them to contact the local office, go into the local offices. But when she goes into wanting to change financial obligations, modifying or right-sizing orders, yes, unfortunately, you can't do that online. That with Prince George's County, you would have to go to the courthouse or go to the local office. So that is something we can definitely take back into increasing more online presence to help non-custodial parents navigate a little bit easier. But at this time, you have to primarily come into the local office or file some things with the file court papers with the court.
Robin, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about navigating the child support system, making it more understandable, hopefully helping you navigate the system just a little bit better. Benina, currently the District of Columbia has an amnesty program going on. Can you share that with me? Because that's a really important piece, and I want to make sure that district residents understand what's happening during these last few days in August.
Yes, for the whole month of August, as part of Child Support Awareness Month, we have been offering amnesty to our non-custodial parents who owe child support and who may have fallen behind, and now they can come in and we will, if we had a civil contempt action being filed against them, they can come in and we can work with them to quash that action so that it will not move forward. We will work with them if they have driver's licenses. They may have received driver's license suspension letters to try to get them their driver's license back. We will also work with them to enroll them in our Fresh Start program, which will allow them to get dollar-for-dollar forgiveness against TANF of arrears that are owed to the District of Columbia, so that if they, say, have $500 in arrears and $250 of those dollars are owed to the family because the family's no longer on TANF, but $250 were owed to the district when they were, and they pay the $250, all $500 will be forgiven, and so they would owe no arrears. So I think that's a really important thing for residents to know. And additionally, we want them to know that at the end, as part of Amnesty Month, on Friday, we are having a job fair for our non-custodial parents, so that we have more than 30 vendors, employers who will be there, and they are prepared to work with our customers to try to get them employed. So I believe that everyone in the District of Columbia with a child support case, if you are unemployed or underemployed, please come out because we think we can help you. We also have two workforce developers on our staff that we are currently working with non-custodial parents all year long. We've had them. We hired them last August and September, and they've done a phenomenal job of helping our parents get employed.
Real quick, for those who want to participate in the amnesty, I mean, do you just show up? I'm sure there are some parents who perhaps have not been as responsible as they can be that may be afraid of being arrested.
They should have no fear of that. There are no police officers at our building to do that other than the security to get in. This is truly amnesty. You come in, regardless of your status. If you have a bench warrant, we will help you get that bench warrant quashed so that you don't have to worry about that. We actually did about last year, we did a bench warrant program that we quashed bench warrants. But as part of this, if you have one, we will help you get that bench warrant quashed. So don't worry about that. You should come in prepared to discuss your case and prepare to make some gesture of payment toward that case.
You wanted to say something real quick before I ask Janice's question as well. Go right ahead, Samantha.
Yes. The state of Maryland is also having an amnesty program for driver's license for the entire month of August. Non-custodial parents, if they owe child support in any jurisdiction in the state of Maryland, can come into a local office and pay a reduced amount of a one full month support ordered amount plus $5 on the arrears, and for arrears only cases, one full month of arrears support order amount, and we will release the driver's license suspension. In addition, to DC, we also have a PIP program, a payment incentive program, and that is for non-custodial parents who owe arrears due to the state. If they pay, if they qualify for the program and they pay their arrears towards their child support for 12 consecutive months, we will reduce half of that balance. If they pay again consecutive for another 12 months, it will erase the remaining part of the arrears. So if they can come to the local offices, any local office within the jurisdictions in the state of Maryland, we will definitely honor and work with them for driver's license amnesty.
I'm coming up on a break, and I need to make sure that I get some other information from each of you. And I'll start with you, Samantha. Is there a website that people can go to? All of this information, of course, will also be on our website, whur.com. Do you have a website suggestion?
MyDHR.com.
Again, yes. Please?
MyDHR.com.
Okay. And Benita?
We do have one, and I will have to get it back to you, but if they type in OAG DC or Child Support Services Division DC, it will come up.
Okay. We'll make sure we get that. Also, Samantha, same for you, a website quickly, please. I'm sorry. Yes, Janice.
Yes. My Child Support, one word, .dss.virginia.gov.
I will make sure that that information is posted on our website on whur.com shortly after about 8:30. In the interim, we're going to talk to Tony after the break, calling from Virginia, Deborah calling from Prince George's County, Rachel calling from Maryland. Lines are really full right now, but we promise I'm going to take as many phone calls as we possibly can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. Your calls are next. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about child support. This is Child Support Awareness Month. How do you navigate the complexities of the child support system in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia? Well, I have experts here. They're ready to help. Samantha Phillips, Chester, Acting Director for Prince George's County's Child Support Program, Janice McDaniel, Senior Assistant Attorney General for the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Benita Rice, Deputy Attorney General and Director of the Child Support Services Division in the District of Columbia. If you can't get through, I promise I will get to you. Keep trying. Keep your questions short so we can get as many people as we can. I want to go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Tony, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Deborah. Deborah calling from Prince George's County. What's on your mind, Deborah?
Hi, good evening. I'm a grandmother, and we had custody of my granddaughter when she was 2 years old. She just aged out and turned 18. Okay, the question is, the child support that is owed to us by both parents is over $10,000 apiece. Now, we've asked questions about how to get the money. No one seems to have answers for us, and we're still concerned of how we're going to get paid. Dad's job hops. And now he's getting work and getting paid under the table, so he don't have to pay child support any longer. So what do we do about that?
Yes, hello. Is your grandchild, when did the grandchild emancipate?
She just turned 18 this year.
Okay, so what you will have to do is contact our local office, and what we will do is, and that's one of the struggles of the child support process, is to locate and serve people that are due to pay child support. So if you can contact our local office, what we will do, we will locate, we will file court papers to bring them in for compliance. Sometimes we will have to serve them by certified mail, serve them by sheriff, and then for the magistrate to be heard in front of the magistrate in order for them to make the determination of compliance or non-compliance.
Okay. Thank you so much, Deborah, for your phone call. And to that point, Janice, it's one thing when you have people that are voluntarily trying to come in, amnesty or not. But when you are finding non-custodial parents or parents who, as I put lightly, are not being as responsible as they should be, what are the consequences of that, and how might a custodial parent, custodial grandparent, handle something like that?
Well, the first thing to know is that Virginia is what's called an administrative state, which means that we have a lot of statutory remedies available to the agency without having to go to court. So if someone has an enforceable order, be it an administrative order, that is an order that's been issued by the Division of Child Support Enforcement, or court order, there are certain enforcement actions that the division can undertake. One of the first steps is to try to locate an employer. And if an employer can be located, a wage withholding can be done. That is when monies will be automatically taken from their wages. So wage withholding is one of the first options. We have other alternatives, including attachment of bank accounts or local or other sources of income. If we can locate them, there are actions that can be done. Suspension of driver's license can be done. And so all of those are administrative remedies. If all else fails, then there is show cause rules which can be filed. That means that we will file the appropriate paperwork in court asking the court to issue a rule against a person, and they will have to come in and explain why they've not been paying support as indicated. The court can find someone in contempt, and one of the results of that finding of contempt can be incarceration.
But all of this, minus the incarceration, all that you've just shared, I think people need to understand that stuff doesn't happen overnight.
No, it does not. And one of the big concerns and one of the big frustrations is usually locating the non-custodial parent. As someone said, they can habitually change jobs. As soon as a wage withholding is issued, you get a couple of payments and they switch jobs. So locating a non-custodial parent is often one of the barriers that's faced. But because all of these processes are legal processes, because they involved a person's property, there are certain legal steps that have to be taken. So you're right, it can be frustrating for someone who's on the receiving end, but when we do it, we like to make sure we're doing it within the proper procedures and guidelines so that the enforcement actions will be upheld.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Thank you so much. Let's go to Rachel. Rachel, calling from Maryland. Rachel, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling. I actually have two, hopefully, quick questions. One, I wanted to know, when is the custodial parent held liable to work? And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know, she's been receiving a significant amount of child support and has not worked at all. The second question is, me and my husband, we are now expecting our baby soon. And is that a reason to go back to court to have some of that amount taken down?
That's a really good couple of questions. Can you share your thoughts about that?
Yeah, on the first question, unfortunately, I can speak for Prince George's County. To compel the custodial parent to work is something that we are unable to do. We are, after we establish paternity, have a support order amount and enforce that order, we're limited to that. So it's not like we can go back and say, this custodial parent has to make money because the circumstances changed. However, with your husband, if he's paying child support and now there's an addition to your family that could be considered a material change to file something with the court to modify an order because there are new expenses that have incurred. So in terms of compelling the custodial parent to work, that's something that we cannot undertake. But in terms of going back to modify that order because those your financial circumstances has changed, that's something that we do.
Bernanda, talk to me about that, because I find that really, really fascinating. If you were paying X amount in child support and then you remarry, as in the case that Rachel was suggesting, and you decide to add to the new family, how does that impact the support for the first child?
Yes, that is a issue, and it's one that we address every day in court in the District of Columbia, as I'm sure in all the other jurisdictions. We in the district have what is called a shared income model, child support guidelines, where both parents' income is considered. The court can attribute income to the custodial parent if she or he is not working, or they can determine that it is appropriate that they don't work. Oftentimes in marriage situations, the custodial parent may have never worked, and the court does not make that change in circumstances, or the court, people may go back to college. We may have had custodial parents and non-custodial parents who've taken job reductions so that they can increase their income at a later date by going into certification programs or college programs that temporarily reduce their income, and the court has determined that it is appropriate for later on benefiting the child. So that shared income model, we look at both parents, determine what is the right amount. If one of those parents gets married or has another child, that is considered a material change in circumstance often, and they can go back into the court, and they are given a credit against that child support order for that new child. And so it could reduce the amount of child support for that first child.
But that may not seem, if I'm a custodial parent and I have one child, and then my ex remarries, and if let's say she's paying me $1,000 a month, she decides with her new husband to have a child, some would argue that why should our child, the first child, suffer because you've decided to add to your new family?
I think those are policy decisions that all jurisdictions make, and I think most jurisdictions have looked at this as if you have a pot of money for children. That pot of money may be $1,000. That's what this non-custodial parent earns. Do we let one child go hungry so that the other child eats? We have to determine, based on that $1,000, how much money the first child will get, second child will get, third child, fourth child. So the more children you have, the more that non-custodial parents will reduce the income, usually, for those children, unless their income at the same time is rising in order to keep it at that same level. But those are policy social decisions, because you do have multiple children. People remarry. People go into other relationships. And you have to come up with a system that allows each child to be able to have some level of support.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you so much for your question. Barbara, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Barbara. What's on your mind? Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You go right ahead.
How about if the non-custodial parent has been paying child support consistently and constantly, but does not know the whereabouts of the child and has no contact for quite some time? What legal ramification is there, if any, for that non-custodial parent?
Did you catch what she was asking?
Yes. Again, for Prince George's County's Office of Child Support, we do not handle the custody portion. And there's a lot of jurisdictions that we're separate from having that discussion or that involvement with custody. So if the non-custodial parent is in search of the child or wants to address custody, that non-custodial parent would have to go to the courts to file for custody and would have to locate that custodial parent and be heard in court. So in terms of the Office of Child Support, we do not address that component of custody, that component of visitation, unfortunately.
Barbara, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tim, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Tim. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I have to think of where to start, truthfully.
Well, keep it short, Tim, because I'm close to a break. You ask your question, and then I'm going to ask you to hold on, and you'll get your answer on the other side, but please go right ahead.
Okay. I am a father who actually likes taking care of my children. The problem that I have is that I've been trying for the last 5 years to get a simple review of my child support status in Baltimore, and every time I try to, they come up with another brick wall where I have to start the whole process from square one.
What kind of brick walls are you talking about?
Well, I've been told that there was a problem with the paperwork and that I had to redo everything all over again after I'd already paid a lot of money to have my ex-wife served. Now she has moved into Pennsylvania. I went through the child support office. They're supposed to take care of all of that for her. It's set there for almost a year when it's only supposed to be 6 months. I finally find someone who's willing to help me out. She's had to start the process all over again. It's now 4 months since that time. She's changed office locations. I can't get through to anyone. And now I'm receiving phone calls asking me about pay stubs that I already gave to the last young lady that I was speaking with. And it seems like the only time anybody calls me from child support is if my job changes, so they can see whether or not I'm making more money so I can pay more money, other than I'm trying to actually get help to reduce down because I have a wife to take care of who's disabled, unable to work.
Well, Tim, you said quite a bit, and I'll have my experts try to digest what you've shared with us. I need you to hang on because I have to take a break. When we come back, we will try to address your situation. So please stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about child support tonight. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about navigating the child support system in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Before the break, we were talking to Tim in Baltimore, who was explaining that he has encountered a great deal of speed bumps, roadblocks, and the like. Samantha, generally speaking, what can he do, or what should he do?
Well, first of all, to just follow up again with that particular office, and I would like to take your information down because it's not necessarily my county. But I know with the resources that certain jurisdictions have that sometimes things get lost. And so we want to first just apologize for just going through that ordeal. However, in order for you to expedite this as best as you can, I can take the information and forward that to that jurisdiction so that he can get his answers, questions addressed.
Tim, I need you to hold on. The producer will get your information, full name, a good phone number, an email address, and we're going to pass it on to Samantha Phillips Chester, and she will get in contact with you this week.
Yes.
This week. So please, if I can have the producer reach out and get that information. Tim, thank you so much, and good luck. Do not hang up. They'll get the information. Let's talk about some do's and some don'ts, Janice. When you have someone like Tim, who is trying to navigate the system, obviously the governmental agencies have responsibilities, but what kind of responsibilities do you need to have as a custodial parent, non-custodial parent, joint custody, whatever, to make sure that this process moves as smoothly as possible?
I would say the most important thing is to keep copies of everything. If you turn in an application to the agency for services, keep a copy of it. Keep a copy of your court orders. Make sure you know where they are. If there are any changes to the orders, if there have been any modifications, keep a copy of those. When you go to an agency to apply for child support, they're going to need copies of all the orders that you have. So I would say that. If you're a non-custodial parent, also, anytime you ask the division for something, you fill out an application, you fill out a request, I would keep a copy of that. Even if you are paid, or even if you're paying child support through wage withholding, I would keep a copy of all my pay stubs or my pay documents, which reflect which payments were made and on what dates. Anytime any payment is made, I would have a record of it or sort of keep a log of it. So I think the most important thing you can do, either if you're receiving or if you are paying child support, is to keep detailed notes as to exactly what's going on, when, where, how, who you spoke to, what you requested, so that it will be a record of it.
But Nanda, anecdotally speaking, we often hear about stories where parents, because of custody, do not pay child support. Are you familiar with those situations where you may have balanced or equal custody where there is no money exchanged? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
So explain that, because a lot of people are wondering, you know, how does that work?
Right. The whole goal behind child support is that if the two people were together, what would be, how would that child be financially raised? You know, what would be the assets that would go to that child? And so if you have now these two people, they are apart. And let's say one makes $50,000 and the other makes $50,000. They have joint equal custody. Based on a shared income model, there really would be no child support owed. To each parent brings to the table the same amount of money, and they have custody of the child at equal amounts of time. So there would be no need for child support. On the other hand, let's say one parent made $100,000 and the other parent made $20,000. So when that child was with a parent with $20,000, even though it's equal half-time custody, they don't have the same amount of resources available to them as they are with the parent with $100,000. So the child support order would be based on giving that other parent a few more resources to help during that 50% time.
Samantha, does a non-custodial parent who is paying child support always have to go through the system once they get an order of amount to be paid? Do they always have to go through the state or the county system in order to make sure that the custodial parent receives payment?
No. They can privately have an order, and the order can state that the non-custodial parent can pay directly to the custodial parent and do not have the state's involvement in collecting child support. It is, again, when you have two people may not be in an amicable situation, the custodial parent may feel that they need a third party to ensure that those payments are coming in regularly to him or her. So the short answer is no. They can privately agree to do what they want to do. But when we're involved is when the courts state in the court order that payments are to be paid through the Office of Child Support.
What is the age for each of your jurisdictions where child support ends, the age of the child?
In Virginia, it's usually 18. However, if the child is 18 and still a full-time high school student, it is to age 19 or graduation, whichever occurs first. Or in the case of a child who may be severely disabled and unable to support themselves, it might be continued by the courts for a longer period of time. That's the basics. However, there are instances in cases of divorces or private agreements where the parties have indicated that support will continue until a child completes so many years of post-high school education. But the majority of orders, the orders that the division would be involved in, usually are to 18 or either to 19 or graduation from high school.
Bernardo.
In the District of Columbia, it is age 21 unless the child emancipates himself early by, say, military. Joining the military can emancipate you. Getting married can emancipate you. Child support can continue past 21 if the child has a disability and the court determines that it should go forward. And oftentimes in cases where the children are in college past 21, the court has ordered child support to continue. Those orders are, it's usually addressed in their divorce decree.
The state of Maryland is the same as Virginia, emancipating at 18. If the child is still in high school, it will be 19 or when the child graduates. If the child is permanently disabled, that child support will continue. And the same thing with the parameters of private orders. However that order is written will be determined when that child emancipates or is not due current support.
But as you all know, as a good parent, it may not be called child support. It could be supporting your child. And sometimes they come at you at 30. So, Mom, can I borrow the car? I need your support.
Yes.
Jerry, calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling, Jerry. What's on your mind? Jerry, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead, please.
Bear with me. Listen, I'm a non-custodial parent. Mm-hmm. They consider that we don't have we have a child support case, but we don't have a custody case. So they called it a shared custody case. And when she first went in, she for all intents and purposes lied to him and said she kept the kids more days than I did. I keep my children probably 200 something days a year, and she keeps them 100. And then when I went back to court to try to get her to come in, because they say it's an interstate, she's in D.C. and I'm in Maryland, she doesn't have to show up. So it's like I can never get my right amount of days in the system. And so I had her serve. I did go back to court. But then when she didn't show up, they said that she didn't have to show up because it was a D.C. case. And actually, she doesn't even live in D.C. now, but they said it doesn't matter. She did live in D.C. at one time. So I'm just like, you know, lost.
So let me make sure I'm clear, Jerry. Are you asking for a modification of child support, or are you asking about custody issues? What specifically are you asking that the court do?
The representative, the lady at the court, she told me that if I could just get my right amount of days in the system, because we make around the same amount, that I would be I would be paying nothing.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me stop you there. I only have about a minute left.
Yes, sir.
Bernita, can you quickly share your thoughts about Jerry's situation?
I'm a little bit unclear, Jerry. Do you have a D.C. order or a Maryland order?
I'm paying in Maryland, but I'm paying to D.C., they said. So then when Maryland sent me to D.C. to go file, D.C. told me that I didn't even have a case in D.C. It was out of Maryland. So I was a real confused myself because the lady from Maryland told me to go to D.C. and look.
Okay, Jerry, let me stop you there.
I would say that you would probably need to maybe make an appointment and come into our office, bring all of your orders so that we could go through to really understand what it is that's going on with your case. It would be unfair for me to give you any guidance over the phone, over the air, because I really don't know what's going on.
Mm. Well, Jerry, thank you so much. And certainly for Jerry and all of our listeners, contact information for each of the three jurisdictions here will be put on our website on WHUR.com. Also, the podcast will be there as well. I want to thank all three of you for coming in and helping us with this issue. Samantha Phillips Chester, Janice McDaniel, and Bernita Rice, I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
That
thank
is the you. Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.